The Duke wishes to speak to you before you leave. You know where I lodge. I'm sure you can arrange a convenient time for the Duke to meet me there. He pushed past Michael, aware that he was behaving atrociously, but unable to bear the stifling heat of the ballroom for a second longer. As he strode through the crowds, he rubbed his hand against his thigh. Sometimes he feared he was still so tainted by blood and death that his touch contaminated and destroyed those around him. Jack headed for the wide doors of the ballroom, ignoring the poisonous whispers that made the hair on the back of his neck spring to attention. He descended the spiral stairs into the wide, black-and-white marbled hallway, stopping in the shadow of the stairway to gulp the fresh air flooding through the open front door. As Jack watched, a party of guests arrived and began to remove their cloaks and wraps before ascending the impressive staircase. A woman stood silhouetted against the backdrop of the falling snow. A flash of Titian hair frosted with diamonds caught his attention. He paused as the woman took off her cloak to reveal a simple white ball gown. When the lady raised one hand to pat her hair, her fragile skirts took flight in the draughts of freezing air, and more diamonds sparkled in the candlelight. With a deep sense of male appreciation, Jack imagined the auburn-haired beauty standing naked in her bedroom, as fat cherubs poured sparkling gems over her luscious, long-limbed body. He wished he could be there. She turned toward him, as if noticing the heat of his stare, and he forgot to breathe. Ignoring her chattering companions, she picked up her gauzy skirts and walked toward him. The tap of her jewelled-heeled white sandals echoed against the marble floor. When she reached him, her hand came up to her throat. "Jack, I didn't know you had returned. I was hoping to contact you." Jack bowed.
"I've been in England for the last 2 years. Didn't my father inform you?"
She shook her head, and her long diamond earrings trembled. Idly, Jack wondered how she could afford them.
"My father didn't tell you?"
He faked surprise.
"I thought you two were as thick as thieves."
She blushed and caught her bottom lip between her teeth. "I've hardly seen him since you left." Before she could continue, one of the men in her party came up and laid a proprietary hand on her shoulder. Jack stared at the gloved fingers, aware of a deep desire to wrench them away from the soft flesh they touched and plant the man a facer.
"Caris, darling, we're already late and we agree to meet my mother at the supper table."
Jack raised an inquiring eyebrow but stood his ground. He was eager to find out why Caris allowed another male to address her with such familiarity, and why in God's name did she need to find favour with this person's mother. Caris looked from Jack to her companion and sighed. "Lord Rice, may I present Lord Jack Llewellyn?" To Jack's immense satisfaction, Rice released Caris's arm and stepped back, a flash of understanding on his dark-set features. Jack took the opportunity to claim his wife's gloved hand and bring it to his lips.
"As far as I'm aware, Caris is still my wife. I don't recall giving you permission to address her by her first name or to escort her anywhere."
Lord Rice bowed, his calm gaze lingering on Caris.
"I do, of course, apologise, my lord. But I understand from Caris, I mean from Lady Jack, that you and she led separate lives."
Jack admired the man's courage, even as he mocked it.
"Then perhaps you were mistaken. Women's understanding of such matters can be tenuous."
He dropped his wife's hand and flicked her cheek with a careless finger.
"If there is something you need to discuss with me, Caris, may I suggest you contact my father's solicitors? I'm sure you'd prefer not to have to suffer the indignity of speaking to me directly."
Caris's face paled, and she clenched her hand at her side. He watched as she gathered her composure around her like a cloak and lifted her chin.
"If that is how you want to proceed, I will follow your wishes, but I do need to speak with you."
Jack had started to move past her. He stopped and lowered his voice so the others couldn't hear.
"Well, that makes a change, darling. I thought we'd said everything there was to say when you chose to side with my father and left me."
"I didn't leave, Jack. You did."
Her voice was low and fierce. "And in truth, you had already left me long before your father disinherited you."